B'chol ha'avaydus Hashem. Toldik fi mash zeichem lahargish is gadol achshivah shel kol milchama. We're learning about the importance of understanding how all the milchamas in life, where the milchamas have to do with working on amidas, the milchamas that have to do with davening, with learning, with relationships with people, all things, all areas of life with our struggles, that's not a b'dei eved, that's not something which is an indication, God forbid, of any lack of hatzlach in one's life. Even if a person has been unsuccessful to a large degree in being victorious in these wars and these struggles, that's the tachlis of being in the world, is davka the milchamas. And that's what gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu the greatest nachas ruach. The B'ditshava Schusa Yelena spoke about that very, very often. The B'ditshava spoke about how this is the greatest nachas ruach, the greatest einig that Hashem has, is when a person who's davka in this world, a bus of Adam, who's caught up in all of the things of this world, especially in the later generation that we're holding now at the end of time, that a person, despite all of the obstacles, continues to be an Eved Hashem, that gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu the greatest nachas ruach, and that is what is meant when Hashem says, when it says in the Pasuk Navi, Yisrael Asher B'chor Espor. Yisrael Asher B'chor Espor means that Hashem is proud of us. It's important to know that Hashem Baruch takes great pride in every Jew. And the pride that Hashem takes in a Jew is not mainly with his victories or with his successes or when everything is going easily and it's going well. The pride that Hashem takes in every Jew and the tiferes that he has in a person is davke, the pride in that person's struggles with the difficulties in his life. So that's what we're talking about. The chol avodas Hashem toldik fi mashe zoichim lahargish, zoichim lahargish is god lachshivas of kol milchama. A person should feel the chshivas of each of these struggles as a chavivas shel kol milchama. How beloved, how important it is in Hashem's eyes, each and every milchama that the person has. You know, there's a maisa that I saw. There was a famous doctor in Poland who was completely not religious. And by the time he died, he was called Harav HaKadosh Reb Chaim David Doctor. There was a tzaddik, this doctor, Reb Chaim David, was far removed from Yiddishkeit, and Reb David Lalover, Zchus Yeglena, brought him back. And it was Chayza B'tshuva, and he was the doctor of all the tzaddikim, and he was an amazing tzaddik. He himself, they used to come to him with kvittles. He was a big Baruch HaKadosh. Reb Chaim David, they called him Doctor. And this Reb Chaim David, he had a very, very wild life before he was Chayza B'tshuva. You know, Berlin and all the, in those days, the worst things he was Isaac in. And before he was Nifter, so he was pretty much on his deathbed, and the great tzaddik, the Tver Shleimer, Reb Shleimer Radomsker, came to B'mevaka Chayla, came to see him. And when he walked in, he was sitting there, and Reb Chaim David, this doctor, gave a krechts. A krechts. And the Tver Shleimer was certain that the krechts was that at that moment that the doctor was thinking about the earlier part of his life when he was not behaving and that he was worried about this. And so the Tver Shleimer, the great tzaddik Tver Shleimer, said that don't worry, that all of that is finished and you did tshuva, Hashem has forgiven you for all your sins. And at that point, this doctor, Chaim David, he gathered all of his strength and he stood up. He stood up from his deathbed. He stood up and he said, I'm not mavater, I don't even give up one of my averes. I'm not letting go of, not even one of my averes. Each one of the averes is mine, Baruch Hashem. That's what he said. So Tver Shleimer explained, we have a Torah in this Inyan, that what he was saying was that we know that according to Chazal, that when a person returns to Hashem, that all of his averes are transformed into mitzvahs. Right? All of his averes are changed into mitzvahs. The Gemara says that. So when the doctor said, I'm not giving up not even one of my affairs on my mavata, what do you mean? All of those affairs that I did, those were my affairs, and Baruch Hashem, Hashem's Baruch is changing them into mitzvahs. So the tzaddikim say about this story that what the doctor taught us before he passed away was that it's true that he had many struggles in life and he was unsuccessful in many areas of life, especially in the earlier part of his life. He was not always doing what he was supposed to be doing. But the milchamas that he had to become who he had become, those were the most valuable things that he was holding on to. Those were the most precious gifts that he could offer to Hashem. Was davka what? Was davka his struggles. That was the greatest thing. So he explains here, Sheneda, the Bereshit wants us to know, Shekola oilu mesel yinav ha-sachtenim, kol ha-malochim u-srafim, kol nishmas ha-tzadikim, kulim ha-mtinim, mitzapim, mishtekim, liskos lirois, es ha-nachas ruach, the next page 5, Shenasim yom l'chanu shalom. All the tzadikim and all the nishmas in the higher world are waiting to receive nachas from our milchamas. Not necessarily from our accomplishments, but from our milchamas. And we have to know that each and every one of us is a soldier. Yehide yachid v'yachid is a soldat, is a soldier. Kolechad v'yachid mamish sa'at tzavah sholem. Hamamun al alfel mochamis. Each and every one of us throughout life, we are soldiers, that we are involved in thousands of wars. L'kol echad yeshus ha-milchamish shalei sh'aku yachil l'netzeach b'hem. And Hashem Baruch gives each and every Jew davke those milchamis for him, for her, exactly what he or she needs to become, the person that he or she can become. Only he can engage in this war. And that's what Hillel HaZaken said. If I'm not for myself, who's going to be for me? In other words, I have to fight this milchama. Nobody's able to fight it for me. This is very hard, of course, though, growing up in a time where we're used to everybody taking care of things for us. Everything is being done for us. But the whole yesod of life is me'ena ni li mili, that I have to fight my own milchamas. Kol yom yesho'os milchamas ha-miyuchadis shavinu shu'ushmaim mezaka yisana b'hem. Each and every day, Hashem gives us the schus to fight in different milchamas. Yesh milchamas aruchas v'yesh ktsaros. There are longer, more difficult battles, and there are shorter wars. Yesh ktanas v'yesh ktsaros. There are small struggles, and there are great struggles. Yesh yoyse kushas v'yoyse kalas. Yesh shemrak beruchnias. So there are some struggles that we have that are only in spirituality. V'yesh gam begashmis. And there are other things that are in physical things in life. Yesh besumerad. There are milchamas that we have when it comes to sumerad, to trying to take ourselves away from things that are wrong. V'yesh basay. And then we have the milchamas to try to do what? To try to accomplish more in a positive way. The machshavah b'dibur ma'aseh, in thought, in speech, and in action. The ben adam l'chaveru, in our relationship with people. Ben adam l'makom, in our relationship with Hashem. Mibifnim, in our own homes. Umibachutz, and on the street, outside in the world. Ba'avinu shebishmayim reitzeh shenargish v'nakir v'neida es gadol achashivas v'achavivas shel kol ma'avak v'kol milchama. And the ikur is that Hashem Baruch wants us to know how valuable, how important, and how precious each and every milchama is. V'adezeh netzei l'krosam im simcha. Therefore, instead of getting depressed, I've mentioned this many times, and I talk about it a lot in shul, in Eretz Yisrael, you have a lot of the chevra that they go to yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, whether the boys or the girls, when they go to the yeshivas, the seminaries, for months before they come home, they're being told over and over and over again that they're going to return to Chutz Laaretz, they're going to come back to America, and the nisyonos they're going to have are going to be impossible, and the only way it's they could remain Jews is if they stay in Eretz Yisrael, they stay in yeshiva. But kaishi, if somebody has to go back, and then they'll tell you, you know, that the kids believe by the time they get onto the plane and come back to America, they believe that in all likelihood they're going to totally succumb to the evils of America. And they're going to give in to their parents' expectations that are not holy, and they're going to meet up with their old friends and their old... So the whole atmosphere, the whole attitude that accompanies them on that journey back to America is one of a failure. It's after a year of being in Eretz Yisrael, the feeling that the only thing that means anything is the hatzlacha that you had in yeshiva, or is the hatzlacha that you had in seminary. And the fact that you're now entering into a war zone, you're going back into the milchama, in the milchamas of being in your regular surroundings, that is something which is seen as not only a b'de'evet, but the children, when they come back, they return to begin with an extremely negative feeling about, oftentimes about their families, oftentimes about America, and the whole Yiddishkeit outside of the Dalet Amos of Yeshiva, which to begin with, when they return, they're already half defeated. they already have defeated. Because the whole mahalach is one of defeatism, of negativism. I'm not saying this everywhere, God forbid, but in many places, I remember when I was in yeshiva, and I heard this message loud and clear, and they learned with us all of the chazals about the Torah v'Eretz Yisrael, Torah v'Eretz Yisrael, and that to be suspicious of everything with your parents, and everything that's back home, and so on, and every place, and you can't, and so on. And the kids come back with a feeling that that many of them come back with this feeling that their entire Yiddishkeit is only measured by their hatzlocha, the hatzlocha that they had in their 1 or 2 years that they were in Eretz Yisrael. And everything else is downhill. Same thing, the feeling that many of the Yungalite have in Eretz Yisrael when somebody has to go to work and they have to leave the kollel after being in the kollel for many years. They're hearing millions of shmuzen all those years about the evils of the workplace, about the evil and the terrible, treacherous, sinister world that's outside of the kollel. And to begin with, instead of giving his chaskis that if the time has come for you to leave the kollel and to enter into those milchamas and to enter into the milchamas and the nesyonos of having to earn a living and having to deal with people who are unlike yourself and to be in surroundings that maybe make you less comfortable than the one that you were in when you were in yeshiva, instead of preparing for the milchama with a positive attitude and with simcha, much of what's given over nowadays is that there's no tachlis. If you leave the kollel, it's fafalim. Your Yiddishkeit is gone. You're finished. You're finished as a Jew. You're going to become a balabos, and look at what kind of a balabos. And there are many negative things that are spoken among Rabbanim and Rosh Hashivas about balabatishah Jews, balabatim, whether it's in Flatbush or the Five Towns. It became a certain tsura of a b'de'evit, when in fact, there are individuals who are holding their own, working in a place that's not holy, and they kvetch out a daf yomi, and they're trying to be mezgabra in the nesyanis no muhammas that Hashem has put them in. And in Hashem's Baruch's eyes, we don't know who's greater. It's hard to measure these things. We don't know. But we do know what Rav Tzvi Meir is saying, the Svarma Kadeshim have taught us, that Hashem's Baruch loves and has tremendous nachas ruach when a Jew takes these milchamas head on and he fights them with what? With his slavas. That's what he says. La'idei zeh neitzi l'krosam im simcha. We go with simcha in his slavas, with a im cheshik, with cheshik im eish, not with your head down and depressed that I have to go back to my parents who are not my Rosh Hashiva, and I have to go back to my home, which is not the home of kedusha like I had in my dear in Yerushalayim. That's not that when one goes back. So you go when you have to enter into the milchamas, you go with the hislavas, with a cheshik, with an eish, with a fayim, with a bren. In Chabad, I've mentioned this, I think, in the past. In Chabad, by Motzi Yom Kippur, when Yom Kippur is over, when the davening is over, I was never zeichet to be there when the Rebbe was alive on a Motzi Yom Kippur, but I've heard about it from people, and there are pictures right after Yom Kippur from when the Rebbe came out, when the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to come out from the davening of Yom Kippur after Nila and Marv. So it was beautiful. It was like just a tzur of him. He was such a beautiful Jew. But they used to in Chabad, long before the last Rebbe, they would end Yom Kippur with singing the French national anthem. That's the end of Yom Kippur. Dun, 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 dun. It's a Lubavitcher Niggin. They made it into a Niggin. And they march out from Yom Kippur singing the Niggin. And the Vart, what's the Vart? What is that? Right. Those of you know a little bit about the history of Chabad and the problems that they had with Napoleon, understand that there's a very, very great significance. The milchama that was between, at that time, Russia and France was seen in the eyes of the Baal Tanya as being a struggle between Kaychus, dark Kaychus in the universe, and the victory over Napoleon. The victory over Napoleon was seen by the Baal Tanya as a victory over the side of Tumah in this world. But the point of singing that Nigin, the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe explained that he heard from his illustrious ancestors that in order to be victorious in a milchama, you can't go into the war feeling depressed and sad. You can only be victorious in the milchama when you go in with a Nigin. And you're going with a march, and when you're leaving Yom Kippur and you're going back, you're descending back into the world into the world of work and you're descending back into the world. I don't want to say of reality because that gives the impression that like that's reality. But you're descending into the world that we have to contend with. So one does not go back into the world with a feeling of forget it, it's so found. Yom Kippur was a nice day, and now I'm going to lose it. You go back into the world with a niggun. You go with a march. You go with that's how they used to go in the old days. They used to go fighting. It was always Rachmanis how they did that. But I remember, you know, in the old movies you would see like when they go to war, they had these guys. I never knew who signed up for these jobs, but the ones that like they were banging on the drums, they would walk, and then everybody was like shooting them down. They were just an odd way of conducting a war, but it was always with a niggun. It was always, the Muhammad was with a niggun. When you go out to war, you go with a niggun, and you go with simcha, and you go with conviction that you're going to be victorious. You go with excitement that you're able to fight the battle. Why is it that you have so many people that years ago learned in Karlo, and then when you see them years later when they're working people, or whether it's chassidim or not chassidim, the literature from all the chaverim, you see that many of them after they leave Karlo, that they begin a descent into a different way of living, a different type of Yiddishkeit, and without the same bren that they had when they were learning. Of course, when a person is able to learn all day, there's no question that that's so uplifting and so wonderful, but when a person is unable to, so instead of confronting the challenges of daily life, feeling that I'm a lo yutzlach, I can't possibly do this, and it's never going to be that it was the way that it was in yeshiva. I'm never going to be such a person the way that I was in yeshiva. And I used to learn for this and this. I used to learn for 12 hours a day, and now I can only for an hour a day. And I used to be surrounded with tzaddikim, with rosh yeshivas, and now I'm in this place. And then you can't be victorious. You can't win the milchamas of life. If you go in to begin with, you feel like you're a loser. So what Reb Tzimei is saying is that Hashem is Baruch, whatever the Hashgacha practice is, why you're in the milchama and why this milchama has come to you right now in your life, that's not what we're discussing. The point is you're having milchamas. You have to take on the milchamas with simcha, understanding that Hashem Baruch is sending you that milchama, not as some kind of a mistake or an accident of your life, but this is alechad chila, what Hashem wants you to be, and who He wants you to be. And davke, in this way, you bring Him the greatest nachas ruach that's possible. The most amazing nachas ruach is davke brought to Him in such a way. I saw a maisa recently from there was a bachur in Bnei Brak that had a very shvacha copy, very few kishrinus. He was a very weak student, very weak. And in the yeshiva world of Bnei Brak, that could be extremely humiliating. And on top of things, he had a terrible speech impediment. He had a very, very bad speech impediment. He was in yeshiva, through cheder and through yeshiva. His rebbein didn't pay any attention to him. Or if anything, they put him down. It reached a point that he tried to kill himself. It's a nice shaya. This bacher tried to kill himself, and somebody, another bacher, found him bleeding to death, and they took him to the hospital, and they saved his life, and he had some treatments, and psychiatric treatments, and so on. Then he left, and there was a kind Jew who brought him to the stipler. And this Jew told the stipler what happened with the bacher, that he tried to kill himself, and so on. When the bacher came into the stipler, so the stipler went away from his gemara. Normally, he had to go to the stipler and wait. And so the stipler closed his gemara and left the shtender and went over and sat next to the bacher. He sat next to him. And he said to the bacher, he said, I want you to know, he said that when the Kehilas Yaakov, that's himself, the stipler wrote a famous ever called Kehilas Yaakov, when the Kehilas Yaakov learns Torah, or when the Briskerov, this is in the days of the Briskerov, when the Briskerov learns Torah, they don't come from Shemaim, all the Malachim, and Hashem Isbach to listen. For when you learn Eilu Metzias, when you try to learn a little above Metzias, the Gemara, all the Malachim, the Baruch Shem, the Shechina herself comes to learn, to hear you. So the Bach asked, why? So the stipler, they were talking in Hebrew, the bacher wasn't a Yiddish speaker. So he asked, Madua, and the stipler said to him, Kacha. Kacha means Kacha. So that's how it is, I'm telling you. But the bacher wasn't satisfied with that. And he asked again, Rabbi, Madua, like why? That's the thing to say, like the Briskerov and you, and Hashem listens to might. So the stipler said to him, Chazal tell us that Hashem is Baruch says, Eina Mishtamish, that the Baruch Shalom uses Davka Kalin Shvurim. That what Hashem, the vessels that Hashem likes most and chooses in this world are the ones that are broken, are the ones that have cracks. That Hashem has an ahava, a deep love for kelim shvurim. Hashem says, I leave all the beautiful kelim of the world and I'm mishtamish be kelim shvurim. That's what he told him. The end of the story is that this bracha ended up having hatzlach, and he's an erlich yid that has a household, a family, that the stipler saved his life. And when I saw the story, I was thinking, that's the story of this generation before Mashiach comes. Kalim shvurim, it's a bracha and a kalim. That we're not in the madrig of our grandparents, of our parents, and of our ancestors. Kalim shvurim, on many different levels, it's a bracha and a kalim. It's a bracha. All kinds of things with families and yonim of problems with the children, and problems with panos, and problems with the yoshamayim, and problems with all kinds of things. It's a broch in a generation, it's a broch in a kelim. And Hashem's broch says that he's mishtamish b'kelim shvurim. That he davka takes he has the greatest nachas from the tzibroch in a kelim. And these are not just stories. We have to believe this with all of our hearts, that Hashem Yisbarach values more than anything the melchamas of the tzibroch and akelim of this at the end of time. And that's what the stipler was saying. Not the stipler's Torah, not the briskerov's Torah, but your Torah when you're learning Eilu Mitzias. That for that boy to learn a page of Gemara must have been the most difficult, unbelievably painful thing in the world, to learn a page of Gemara. And that's why many of the boys just give it up, because the Gemara is very hard, and if you don't have a good head, so then a lot of the boys, they give up. They don't officially give up, but inside of themselves they give up, and then they start to get into trouble, and they start to carry on, and the Rebbe, and they have to put him to lower shir, and they say, we'd like him to leave the yeshiva. Many, many such ma'isim. And where do we find the yeshiva where the Rebbeim, not a special yeshiva, a regular yeshiva, where a Rebbe is able to say, I mean, there are Rebbeim like this, but not so many, where a Rebbe is able to say that you give me the biggest nachas ruach because I know what you had to put, the effort that you had to put in. I know what your milchama was and what to learn those few lines of the Gemara. And the boy next to you, it was nothing for him to learn that Gemara. And for you to learn the Gemara, you had to sit up hours and hours extra to try to understand, to try to remember, to look up the words again. For you, it was a tremendous, tremendous milchama. And if the boys would believe that if the boys would see that the Rebbe has nachas from that, and that the Rebbe takes pride in the effort that the boy makes, so then he would have a tremendous hischaskis and a chias to want to do the best he could do. And what Tzvi Meir is telling us here is that's how Hashem is Baruch looks at us. Hashem looks at us the way that the stipler looked at that boy, Nabuchin Bnei Brak. That's how the Baruch Hashem looks at each and every one of us. And therefore, when we have to go into our difficult sugyas in life, not everybody's learning a page above Metziah, but when we have to go into the difficult sugyas of our lives, whatever the sugya is, like we learned last week, certain things in life where we don't see big hatzlacha, it doesn't come easy to us. Instead of running away from these things, we have to know that davka in those areas of life that are hard for us, Hashem Yisbarach takes tremendous, tremendous pride. One of the fellows told me, you know, I don't know if you, how many of you were here yesterday. I spoke yesterday on Indian Shaduchim. Some of you were here. I don't know. So one of the men told me, one of the men said to me that there are a few people that were talking, and one of the women said that Shkoyach. So he told us we have to daven Shkoyach. And the man said back to her, that's what he told me. I don't know who it was. And the man said, but I think that's exactly the point that Rabbi Weinberg was trying to make. The point is that we are putting too much kaiches in the anxiety and fear and other areas that really are not the yisoid of our hatzlacha in life and shidduchim, and we have to focus more on asking Hashem Shabbos for help, and he's the one that sends us Yeshua and so on. And that Rabbi Weinberg wanted to be mechazik that inyan, which of course that's exactly the answer. So I was thinking, about this. It's chaval because for a religious person to say shkoyach, so he told me I have to daven. I'm not insulted. That's not. I don't care at all. But it's such a sad thing because that means that person doesn't understand how precious her davening is, how valuable her davening is. And for whatever reason, it could be that she's tried and it hasn't worked, that she was never into it, whatever it might be. But shkoyach, you know, we have to daven. Like we never heard this before, we have to daven. That's something which when one understands that davke, that which comes difficult to you, for many people to call up 10 different shadchanim and to walk around all day with your little black book or pink book, whatever you use for your names and numbers, for some people that it's not only is it that much easier, but it's I wouldn't say it's enjoyable because it's a whole parish is uncomfortable, but it's a chavaya, it's an experience. When it comes to sitting quietly in a room and nobody in the world sees you, and the little black book that you have is not with names and numbers, it's a little black book that has an ashrei and shkriyishma and some kapitel tehillim, and nobody in the world knows about it, and nobody knows, your own daughter or your own son doesn't know what kind of hishtablus you're making for him, what you're doing for her, and how everything that the child's going to have and future grandchildren, great grandchildren, all coming from your hishtablus, and from that mohammed to try to say a better kapitel tehillim, to try to put in your kaychas and nefesh into tefillah and to making a real hishtadlus. So people can walk around day and night thinking that they're making all kinds of gewaldige hishtadlus for their kids, because every single woman that they meet by the pool, they say, do you have somebody for my daughter? Did you hear about somebody for my daughter? And they think that the biggest tzedkani is because they're making such a gewaldige hishtadlus, and the whole thing is off. That's what I was trying to explain. The whole thing is off. Again, not that one shouldn't make hishtadlus, and not that there's anything wrong by asking somebody at the pool. That's fine. Or any place else, you know, you can ask, do you have somebody for my daughter? That's fine. But davening is the ikim milchama. It's the Rabbi Nachman says in the second Torah that davening is the klei zayin shel Mashiach. How is Mashiach Tzidkenu going to conquer the entire world with davening? David HaMelech was the biggest davener that ever lived. Mashiach Tzidkenu, David Malki Mashiach is going to conquer the world. Cherev pifiyos biyodam. That's what we say in davening every single day. What does it mean? Rabbi Meis Kel Begroinam. The praises of Hashem are in our throats, our mouths. The cherev pifiyos, and the double-edged sword is in our hands. So that means davening is mamish a cherev, a sword, to be able to cut through to cut through all things in this world that are against us. It's the most powerful weapon we have is tefillah. But if a person feels I'm not mutzluch in that area of davening, I haven't seen hatzloch in my tefillahs haven't borne fruit, I don't think I'm a good davener. Every one of us would like to ask some big tzaddik. Everybody likes to know that the name is on like, you know, the option of his paper someplace. And everybody's excited to know that there's some tzaddik out there that's davening. And we don't realize that Hashem's Baruch is waiting for our tefillahs. It's good to have the name by tzaddik. But the ikur is our tefillahs and our shtaplus and nefesh is what's going to make the entire difference. And that's the whole avoda of our generation. And he explains, we're going to skip a little bit, but he explains that this is the Seder of the world that we've learned and we spoke about many times, that the way that Hashem Baruch made the world was in the way of Vayhi Erev and Vayhi Boker. Vayhi Erev Vayhi Boker means Kadam Chashucha, first there's darkness and then there's light. And that the whole life, one's entire life, is filled with all types of aliyas and yiridas. When the Baruch Shalom gave us the Torah, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu had to go up into the Choshech, the Anan, the Arafel, right? He received the Torah by going up into the darkness. There's no other way that you could receive the Torah. We would like to receive the Torah only in the light. We would like to be Jews with everything lichtig and everything nice. But the Torah itself was given in darkness. Moshe Rabbeinu had to, that's what made Moshe Rabbeinu great. But then Rabbi Nachman explains that, look at them around, that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't afraid to enter into the cloud. He wasn't afraid to go into the darkness. Because really, that's the entire Seder of receiving Torah for each and every one of us in our lives, is by going to the darkness. Let's continue. Now he explains, he returns to the inyan of Leidus Mashiach, which is very much connected to the Yontif that we're just starting, the Yontif of Tubav. In Isaiah, on page, the list, oh, there you see, A Zion, on page 5, but at the end. So we know, we have a Kabbalah, that there are two Mashiachs. So we spoke about the Mashiach being born, Tisha B'Av, and this time of the year, between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah, it's a very powerful time, each and every day, especially Tu B'Av, of Leidus Mashiach, of that Kayach of Mashiach being born inside of us. So the emes is, we have a Kabbalah, that there are two Mashiachs. There's Mashiach ben Yosef, and there's Mashiach ben Dov. Now, I'm sure many of you have learned about this Indian, and you've heard about it. It's a tremendous, tremendous subject in Torah. Mashiach ben David, the Kayach of Lei Imenu, and Mashiach ben Yosef, the Kayach of Rachel Imenu. Yehuda and Yosef, Vayigash El of Yehuda, the whole subject of two Mashiachs in the teachings of the Vilna Gaon, it's a whole Maaroch, it's a whole world in the Vilna Gaon's teachings, in the Ramchal's teachings, in the Kisvei Ha'ari, in the whole section that deals with Lei Imenu and Rachel Imenu, the two Mashiachs. And if it's the time of Leidas HaMashiach, so we need to understand the meaning of Yehuda, Mashiach ben David, and Mashiach ben Yosef. We're not going to go into, he doesn't go into great detail this Indian, but what is the koyach of Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef? So on page 5, all the way there, I zayin. Echad me'abachina shel leidas Mashiach, one of the aspects of this Indian of the birth of Mashiach, Shavini Shavasham Lesna Kal Yachid Vyachid Miitana, that Hashem gives to each and every one of us, the Mashiach is born inside of us this time. Befrat B'dareinu, especially in this last generation which is preparing for Mashiach Tzidkenu. Zeha Hashpor Hamyuchedis Shalahavoida Kdoisha Hazu, Lahashiv Kalmashu Shal Nuchama Avur Asiyas Vitzan Hashem. That's, he's returning to the beginning. What we've been now learning the last while is the importance of Milchamas. And the mistake of looking at milchamas as being something which is not a lechatchila in life, but a bedeavan in life. So what Reb Simeir explains now is that the whole inyan of Mashiach is, and Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef is teaching us how davke, especially now at the end of time in Yemos Mashiach, as we're approaching the days of Mashiach, the whole ikkar of Mashiach is milchama, is war. That we should see in a correct and proper way the whole inyan of fighting these wars and these struggles for Hashem's sake. How we should see it in the right way. And the richter geblick to milchemes Hashem. Chazal kadoshim megalim lanu sheyesh lekol yochad v'yochad nitzaitz kadosh me'akarach shel Mashiach ben Yosef nitzaitz kadosh me'akarach shel Mashiach ben David. We already spoke at the very beginning, the first year, we learned, we saw that photos that of the Mo'ari Naim in Parshas Pinchas, how each and every one of us has a bechina, a spark of Eliyahu HaNavi and of Mashiach Tzidkenu. We were talking there about Mashiach ben David, but each and every Jew has within him, within her, a nitzoitz, a koyach of Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. U'kumayisha ha'gula rishayna gulas mitzrayim, shegmar ha'gula haya b'kriyas yamsuf. The same way that by the first Gula, by the first redemption, when we left Egypt, that the completion of the Gula was by the splitting of the sea. Shos hoya vayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim meis al svas hayom. Vayar Yisrael es hayod ha-gedola she'osa Hashem. When we saw the Egyptians die by the shore, and we saw the greatness of Hashem. Azay ha-koyach shel ha-gemar shel kol ha-gula hoya ayidei ha-koyach shel shnei melochim ha-eila. If you look carefully, you can see now an amazing thing. If you look carefully at the whole subject of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but particularly the end of Yetzias Mitzrayim, not what was going on in Egypt, but the completion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which was only by the Yam, which was only by the ocean, Shvi Shel Pesach. Shvi Shel Pesach is the Ikke Simcha, is by the seventh day of Pesach, because that's when the Egyptians were finally finished off. So we see the presence of these two kings, of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, of Yosef at Tzadik and of David Malka Mashiach, in that Gemar Hagul, in the completion of the Gula of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Idea Kerch Shel Yehuda, what does it say? So we all say it in the Hala. We say, Shahoysa Yehud Lakadshan, right? And what was the special role that Mashiach ben David, or the Koyach of Malchus based David and Yehuda, had in the completion of Gula? So everybody knows. Ayadesh Anachshon ben Aminadav Kofatz L'Soich Hayom. Who was the one that actually brought about the miracle? Nachshon ben Aminadav from Shevet Yehuda, who was the Nasi of Shevet Yehuda. Nachshon ben Aminadav was the one that took the dive, so to speak. He walked in, he went into the Yam, where everybody else was stuck, and nobody knew what to do, and everybody else, again, on their madrega, couldn't move forward. This koyach of Malchus Beis David, of Yehuda, was in Nachshon ben Aminadav. All the Nesiim, obviously, all the princes from the tribe of Yehuda are illuminated with the light of Mashiach ben David, of Malchus Beis David. So what happened? He jumped into the water. So we know that there were two things that were going. There was the presence of these two kaiches to split the ocean. Hayom ra'a vayanais, right? The water, it says right there in Halal. Ha'isi yizu l'kadshe, yisol ma'am shloisa. What does it say afterwards? Hayom ra'a vayanais. That means Yehuda's kayach was Nachshon ben Aminadav, that's Mashiach ben Dov, who went into the water. And then it says, what caused then? Yehuda walked in, Nachshon ben Aminadav walked in, and then what caused the ocean to retreat, to run? That it says, Hayom ra'a vayanais. Chazal tell us, what did the ocean see? The ocean saw the Oren of Yosef HaTzadik, the box that was carrying the bones of Yosef HaTzadik. That's what it means, Hayom Ra Vayonis. Because where else do we see that Lashon in Chumash? By Yosef HaTzadik, remember where? Where does it say by Yosef HaTzadik those words? Similar words? In the house of Potiphar, it says, Vayonas Vayetzeh HaChutza. When she was going after him, it says, Yosef HaTzadik Vayonas Vayetzeh HaChutza. He escaped. And he ran out from the house. That's it. That's the Kayach Yosef Tzadik. That we don't understand. We can't even imagine the Nisayan that he went through. We think that it's Nisayan just like we have. It was a different Nisayan. Because he did that, he became Yosef Tzadik. And because of that, each and every one of us has the Kayach of Mashiach ben Yosef inside of us to be Vayonas Vayetze, to be able to tear ourselves away from the wrong things. Yosef Tzadik is his Kayach. The presence of Mashiach ben Yosef is in the Yam. It says, by Yosef Tzadik, Vayonas Vayetze, and the Gemara says, Hayom Ra Vayonas. The ocean saw and it ran away. What did it see? The Gemara asks, Aroina Shay Yosef, the bones of Yosef HaTzadik. And that caused all of nature to retreat in the presence of the Tzadik, of Yosef HaTzadik, Mashiach ben Yosef. So he explains it to me, the last few lines there on the page. These were and are our two great warriors. Ha'isa Yehuda Lekadsha, the Kayach of Malchus Bez David of Yehuda of Le'imenu. Right, that's one of our warriors, our leaders, our great fighters. The Loichem means a fighter, and the other is what Yosef HaTzadik, Aronish Yosef, Yehuda VeYosef. Which is the inyan of a yigash el of Yehuda, that meeting that took place between Yehuda and Yosef Mitzrayim, the inyan of Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, right? In the place where it says Goshna is 358, which is the gematria of Mashiach. It's a famous Torah from the Bnei Yisrael, I'm not going to go into now. But Goshna is Mashiach, is the gematria of Mashiach. Because Yosef and Yehuda, that meeting was really the meeting between the two kaiches of our warriors of Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. And that's why they met in the place that says the Goishna, which is Gimel Shin Nun Hey, which are the letters on the Dreva, right? Neiz Godel HaYasham. Goishna is the kaich of Mashiach, 358, it's the kaich of Mashiach. And that's why they had to be there by the completion, by that final clap with Mitzrayim. There had to be the two Mashiach, Mashiach ben Dov, Mashiach ben Yosef. They had to be there in order to put an end to Mitzrayim's hold over us. Tia Gamkein says, V'kach Gamkein, the last two lines, V'kach Gamkein Hagul Hashleim. And so it's going to be with the final redemption. Because remember, the final redemption is modeled after the original redemption. Ki meitzeis chamei tzitzoyim, erenu neflois. That what? Tia Gamkein mekerch shnei hakerches ha'elu. The final redemption is going to come with these two kaiches. The kaiches of what? Hakerch shem Mashiach ben Yosef, page 6, next page. Ba'akerch shem Mashiach ben David. With these two kaiches, with the kaich of Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. U'b'chol shana v'shana mekabel kol echad miYisrael. Now we're going to learn the difference between them in a moment. Each and every year, every Jew receives Me'avinu Shebashamayim from our Father in Shemayim. Nekuda chadasha, a new kayach, kayach chadash, or chadash, a fayadike, flamadike, kayach from Yosef, a fiery kayach of Yosef at Tzadik, a fayadike, flamadike, kayach from Yehuda, and a fiery, passionate kayach of Yehuda, of our two great leaders, our warriors. Shiyuch lahamshik b'meshach kol hashan haba, that will give us the strength throughout the entire year, especially that we're coming now into Elul. We have a Kabbalah that Tubav tonight, today Tubav is really the beginning of Yom Neraim. The beginning of Rosh Yom Kippur is now. This is the beginning of this lightness of the Yom Neraim, Tubav, and the koyach that we receive to enter into Elul, and to enter into Rosh Hashanah Kippur and to make the whole year a gewaldige year, the coming year, is the karech that we receive these new karechas every year of Mashiach. Of Mashiach ben Yes, Mashiach ben David. Idea Akar begodlach Shivas vechavivas from Lechemes Hashem, and both Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David teach us that there's nothing that's more valuable to Hashem than fighting wars, because the two redeemers, Yosef HaTzadik, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, Yehuda, these two who are the redeemers were davke outstanding in this koyach of what, of Melchemes Hashem. Of fighting wars, of fighting, of the milchama. There's a whole section in the Oris of Rav Kook. There's Rav Kook's most controversial sefer. It's not really controversial anymore. Back then it was very controversial, and it's always like that with people who see very far into the future. So he has a whole section in his Oris, which is translated to English, the Oris. There's a whole section in the Oris that's called Milchamas, or HaMilchama, the war. And Rav Kook speaks there about the holiness of war. Now that's very foreign to us. And Rav Kook detested war and bloodshed more than any one of us, because he was the most delicate, sensitive person. And he hated blood. He couldn't even eat meat. He was a vegetarian. That's how much he couldn't stand. Anything unpleasant. He was beteva, very edel. And that section, which I learned a lot of during the time, at the beginning of the uprising, the Palestinians with the Chayis a few years ago, so I was going through a lot of that in the shul, the different shuls that I was giving in shul. We were doing a lot of the Iris, that section on milchama, on war, how milchama purifies. It's a necessary evil in this world before the end of time. It's not something that we want, but it's something that must be. That's, of course, the milchamas that are fought with guns, with grenades, with tanks, with airplanes, and so on. The milchamas that we're talking about here, unfortunately, many of our brothers and sisters in Israel have to fight those milchamas. And we sit here and we worry about them, and we wonder, what can we do? We try to do things. So Hashem Baruch gave us our milchamas, in our chutz la'aretz deket milchamas, and in Israel there are those milchamas. But milchama itself is part of the mitzias of Klal Yisrael. And Mashiach ben Dov, Mashiach ben Yosef, if I remember, when I'm in the city, I'll try to photostat some of the iris to give you, on your own, to look at a few of the paragraphs, the hafudig things that Rav Kook wrote about war at that time, that we have to understand. So what is the chilik between the koich of Mashiach ben Dov, Mashiach ben Yosef, as far as wars are concerned? So let's continue with Eis Ches. Echad mi ha-tamim, Shekosim chazal kadoshim mitzadikim, We know that Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim basically took place in two stages. There are two parts to the redemption. The first part of Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim was the first day of Pesach, was leaving Egypt. That's the first chelik of Pesach. And then a funny thing happened. We thought everything is great. Moshe Rabbeinu is leading us out of Mitzrayim, Givaldi, we're free people, and we thought that's it. Now we're just heading to Israel, and everything's gonna be nice and smooth and sweet. But what happened was a crazy thing. After we left Mitzrayim, so that was the end of the first Hakafa, we thought we were finished with the whole thing, and now we're just gonna go get the Torah and go to Israel, and everything's gonna be Givaldi. Then suddenly what happened is Rodfu Acharei Mitzrayim. When we thought that the whole thing was finished, all of a sudden we turn around, and we see that there are a million Egyptians chasing us, that the whole Egypt was coming after us. And then what? And then the second half of redemption took place, which was required by Kriyas Yamsa, by the splitting of the sea. So the question that all the Mefarshim talk about is, why did Hashem do that? Why did Hashem make the redemption? Why did He make the Gula take place in two parts? Why did we have to be shaken up and frightened? Like, well, He took us out of Mitzrayim, so let's just go to Eretz Yisrael again. Go stop off at Har Sinai, go right to Eretz Yisrael. And what do we have to go through this whole Kriyas Yamsuf and Shviyah Shel Pesach? And what happened over there? Like, why was it necessary? When I told him Hashem Dover, Hashem couldn't finish up the whole Egypt and leave them dead over there in Egypt. They had to die by the Yam. Why did Hashem Baruch do it in such a way? How come Hashem Baruch didn't bring the Gula at one time? Kosovo Zahar Ben Yonim. Much has been written about this. Vechem Ben Yonim Haya. Shavina Shabashmaim Rotzalaharis Lana Bezeda. The Baruch Shalom wanted to show us with this. Everything that we went through in Mitzrayim and leaving Mitzrayim, obviously it's because we have to go through it ourselves, and we must learn and understand how to live from what happened. Mitzrayim does not only mean that geographical place on earth called Egypt. All of you have heard over the years that Mitzrayim is from the word Meitzarim. And min ha-Meitzar karosika. Meitzar means any difficulty that I've been in life, whether it's spiritual or physical, and I can't see a way out. A Meitzar means a narrow place. It means I'm stuck in something. I don't know what to do. I can't get out of this. I'm in a very, very difficult place. All of those in Ruchni, spiritual things, where I can't move ahead with my Avodas Hashem, or God forbid I'm involved in Aveiros and I don't know how to get out of this Aveir. Or in Gashmias, I'm stuck in something in physical things. The Chloli is a Beprati, it's for the Jewish people as a people, and if individual Jews. Mimele, B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hishpia, Shemiz Baruch HaZakarach, Lotzeis Mikolah Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim didn't only mean that our ancestors left Egypt. Yitzias Mitzrayim meant that from that time and on, every single Jew who would ever live would have the ability, because of Yitzias Mitzrayim, would have the ability to leave his or her personal Mitzrayim. His or her personal limitations and problems and difficulties and constraints and constrictions that each and every person, every Jew would have the ability to break out of their Mitzrayim. Chazal said that nobody ever escaped from Egypt. It was impossible to escape. We don't know what that means. Even from the worst concentration camps, there were a few Yechidim that escaped. Yechidim. Individual people that escaped. But from Egypt, nobody could escape. And ever since Yitzias Mitzrayim, no Jew is stuck in a way that he can't escape. Can't be. Hashem gave the Karach Lotzis Mekolim Mitzrayim Al Kain. Heralanu Avinu Shevashorayim B'Yitzias Mitzrayim She'inin Hagula Eina Kavanu Sh'niyah Peturim Mekol Inyanei Melchamas. Listen to what a very deep teaching this is. It's very important to give this over to the husbands, to the children, to the family. Hashem Shabbat was teaching us that Gula, redemption doesn't mean when we were taken out of Egypt and then it started up again, to teach us that redemption doesn't mean that now you no longer have to fight anymore. It doesn't mean you have to fight anymore. Anybody that takes a chaslan kala under the chuppah and tells the chaslan kala that from now on everything's going to be just fine is giving over something very, very shallow and dangerous to the children. The children have to be taught that you're going to have many, many milchamas in life, and you have to conduct these milchamas in a way that's dignified and good and that's real, and you have to be a big person. The milchamas dafka begin now. Just like with the bar mitzvah bachur. So you make a whole to-do about his bar mitzvah, some little nobody. We make a whole big deal about his bar mitzvah. He has to know that the milchamas begin after the bar mitzvah. Those years between 13 and 20, especially with a little boy growing up in America, where they're not really allowed to be little boys, and the kind of tumas and things that are out there, the milchamas, the fact that you go through a redemption doesn't mean that the Muhammad doesn't start. So you have a woman that she's going through 9 months carrying a baby, gevalt. It's unbelievably hard. The ninth month is the worst. Finally, you get that krechs and a scream, and then mazel, everybody gives a mazel tov. So tell me, that's the end of all of her tzaris now? That's only the beginning of her tzaris. It's nice because he's a cute little kid, and then you go home, and oh boy. Since the beginning of tzaris, kleiner kinder kleiner son grace, kinder grace of tzaris, it's the beginning of the tzaris. Beginning of the tzaris, sleepless nights, daigus, a million daigus, unbelievable worries and concerns. So a person could say to the Baruch Shalom, you know, I said all the right kapitulach when I was in labor, and in the birth, in the room over there, I said, lam netzech, mizmul yanchash, and b'yayim tzorah, and you brought me your redemption, gevaldik, you brought me your yitzias Mitzrayim. So I thought after that, I'm not going to have any tzar gittel banim. I thought my kids are going to be perfect. The kids are going to be perfect. I'm not even have to get up at night. You're going to bring a mal. You're going to send a malachal. It's going to put a bottle into the baby's mouth, and I'm going to sleep every night. It's going to be gevaldik. And when it comes, I'm not going to have to worry about school. I'm not going to have to worry about friends. I'm not going to have to worry about health. Everything's gevaldik because I what? Because I already left Mitzrayim. The baby, and we had Yitzias Mitzrayim. Because the whole idea of giving birth, of course, is Yitzias Mitzrayim. The baby's stuck in the Mitzar, and the baby comes out. It's Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's finished. That's why it says in the Surah that when a woman is in labor, at the end of labor, she should read over the psukim of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the husband should read Yitzias Mitzrayim. Because the whole thing is leaving Mitzrayim. So then we expect, oh, Baruch Hashem, this is showing Pesach. So you sit down to the Seder, you talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim, everything is finished. And then before you know it, there are a million Mitzrayim coming after you. Tzaris. Nacham Altsars. And you thought you were finished with Altsars. You thought you left Mitzrayim. So Tzimei is saying the whole inyan of Shvi'i Shel Pesach, which is a very joyous day, by the way. It's in the highest days of the year, Shvi'i Shel Pesach. In America, it didn't make such a... In Yerushalayim, Shvi'i Shel Pesach is La'elu La'elu. But the whole reason the Baruch Shalom made it happen in such a way is that you should know. That's what he says. The gula doesn't mean that afterwards you're potter, you're exempt from all milchamas, that everything now is going to be simple, that there are no longer any milchamas. That's not what it means. Other than that, potter from yeda inyan from milchamas, you're not potter. That now all the milchamas are finished, and all the disturbances and difficulties are done. There's such a big yisayit in life, and understanding the whole parsha of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the whole koyach of redemption, the koyach shel cheves oilam shezachin lekalvam yivinish Yisrael Mitzrayim. So what did Hashem give us at Yitzias Mitzrayim? Cheves oilam. He gave us the ability to always get out of Mitzrayim, to always be free. What does it mean? It means who shekibalnu as a klei zayin shenuchal lilchem es milchamas Hashem. It doesn't mean that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and He made us into a success story. It means that He took us out of Mitzrayim and He gave us the weapons that we need to always fight His wars and to fight and to struggle. He gave us the koyach to fight. He did not make us potter from milchamas, because we left Egypt thousands of years ago and we have milchamas now all the time, spiritually and physically. There are milchamas. And on the most basic level, there are milchamas with bloodshed, God, Hashem Yirachem. So what happened to Yitzias Mitzrayim? It says, Fafal. The Torah says that the gula from Mitzrayim didn't mean that we no longer were going to have to be involved in struggles and difficulties and hardships and heartache. It meant that the Baruch Shalom armed us. From that time, we have been armed with an unbelievable koyach to fight milchamas. And that our lives become meaningful because of those milchamas. Adarabba, Hakayach Ha'otzim Shel Geulah Hu Shezachin L'Kal B'Kayach Shebehem V'Al Yodam Nucha Lilchem Oid V'Oid Avu Ritzayin Hashem Zofakir. Gula Davke did not mean that after redemption everything is nice and simple. And even after the 7th of Pesach and after the Egyptians died, when everything was so poshut, and those years that we were in the desert, it was so poshut, and then when we came to Eretz Yisrael, there weren't milchamas. The biggest milchamas we came to Eretz Yisrael. And to this day, the Baruch Shalom told us thousands of years, every single little idiotic people in the world, they have some piece of land for themselves. And the whole world sits in judgment over every single centimeter of Eretz Yisrael. We have to up ourselves to the whole world, right? And we have to fight with the chayis, whether it's from Bnei Yisrael or Bnei Yishmael. Every single inch of Eretz Yisrael is Chal Muhammad. The whole Eretz Yisrael is a Muhammad for thousands of years. Who else has such a thing? If somebody has to drive around to New Jersey and worry that someone's going to shoot at them? I mean, it happens once in a while, a guy in Washington a few years ago. But generally speaking, I mean, it happens sometimes even in the mountains. Hashem should protect all of us. But is this the Seder of the world? It's not the Seder of the world. And if a Jew wants to drive from work, he wants to go to work from Gush Etzion to Yerushalayim, he has to go like in an armored truck, right? It's crazy. It's crazy. Milchamas. There are no people in the world who have milchamas like we have. There's no such thing as any people on earth who have ever had milchamas and who so desperately don't want to have any milchamas who are the most peaceful, gentle people on earth and a constant milchamas. Constantly milchamas. And we would think that after Yitzias Mitzrayim everything would have been done. But the Teretz is that the Baruch Shalom Yitzias Mitzrayim meant that Hashem Baruch has armed us and given us the koyches ha-nefesh and the koyches ha-guf to be always fighting these milchamas in life, because that's the tachlis of our being in this world. The chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael. It says that when we left Egypt, we were armed. Chamushim, we were equipped. The chamushim, for what? Where we're going into the desert? What do you need machine guns if you're going to the desert? Who are you fighting in the desert? So Baruch Shalom said, "This is the beginning of your journey." This is the beginning of the journey of the Jewish people into the desert. Didn't only mean the desert back then and over there. It means in every desert in life that Hashem has armed us to fight those milchamas. And when you go to fight wars for Hashem, that milcham against the Yitzhar, that milcham against the enemies of Hashem, You're not Chas Hashem by yourself. You're a Jew that comes from a place that's called Nach Yitzias Mitzrayim, after Yitzias Mitzrayim, Nach Kriyas Yamsu. You're such a Jew. You're a person that comes from such a place. Let's just finish this paragraph. So that's why Hashem made Yisrael in such a way that after all the magnificent, all the spectacular revelations of the Shechinah and of miracles in Egypt, and when he left Egypt, the 10 Makis, which Hashem's Baruch Hika, it's a clap in Ganson, it's called a klipa, that Hashem's Baruch gives such a clap to all the Tumah of Egypt over there, which is on the 50th level of Tumah. And we thought now everything is great. We're finished with all the Tumah. Suddenly, a couple of days later, everything starts again. Not come over the Egyptians. Again, the Tumah is coming after us. Again, the Tumah is coming after us. Everybody knows that. Everybody feels that. A person overcomes some Yetzar he's been working on for a long time, and then Nachamo. I spoke about it last week. We were talking about it the other day with dieting. It's a simple muscle in this day. And Nachamal. I thought that I got past this Muhammad. I thought that I got past it. And all of the Muhammads in this world, all the Muhammads in life, are in that state of remission. And there's Chayzev and Neyer. And then a person has to fight the Muhammads again and again and again in life. That's all Muhammads. Paro Zayik Bishachus Chadosha. Paro comes with a new fire. Paro, 7 days later, you think that he would be finished after what happened to him in Egypt and all the stuff that was going on with the Marcus. And all of a sudden, a week later, you see Paro coming with a new... you saw that, like with Iraq, what happened. So years ago, what happened over there in Babel. So you think that it was finished, Kiklap. Nachamal. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. After World War I, if you ask any Jew, who would have thought that a couple of years later there'd be the Third Reich? After World War I, the Germans after World War, in World War I got such a clap. They got such a clap. And how could it be? I'll be derech hateva. That 20 years later. That 20 years later. The whole Malchus HaRisha, the whole Nazi machine came Nachamal. With a bigger fire and a bigger koyach. And with a new determination to kill every Jew in the world. Who would have thought such a thing? How could it be such a thing? This chashcha, Omar Oyev Erdaif Osig Achalek Shalom. He said every day in the Oz Yoshe. That's what he said. Paro. He came with a battle cry of what Omar Oyev Erdaif. I will chase after Osig. I'll catch Achalek Shalom and will divide up the spoils of who? Of the Jewish people. That's what they said. That was by the seventh day, by Kriyas Yamsuf. Milchama Chadasha, a new war. A fresh Milchama. And the enemy seemed to be well rested. With new Karchas, the enemy came after us. And it was stronger than they were a week ago. We need to understand. Because this is itself the Yisoid of redemption. Until Mashiach, until the final redemption, it doesn't mean that we're finished. It doesn't mean the wars are over. It means that we are, from that time, equipped to deal with wars. No Jew has to give up, God forbid, to be Messiah. Every Jew is Chamushim Olu Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Neshebevada Yeshna Milchamas. There are certainly going to be wars in life and struggles. Ubevada Yu Milchamas Gam La'asid. In the future, there are going to be many wars. We were just about to enter into the horrible desert, and the desert was a place that was filled with karchas of tumah, a place of snakes and serpents and scorpions and thirst, which are all representing karchas of impurity, of tumah that was in the desert. The great wars that we had in the desert with all the karchas of tumah. Aval ha'ikruhu, shezachim l'kabalas ha'karchas, not to give up, and not to think that my life is worthless, what happened to me, and that my whole Yitzias HaSayim was worth nothing. That's not true. Even the Yitzias HaSayim of your life is gevaldik. And Hashem gave you more karchas and new karchas to fight in all of your mechamas of life. And that's what Hashem Shabbat wants of you. That's what you have to do in this world. Shimaim niska la'arachas ha'mechamas. That with these karchas and with these weapons, we can fight the mechamas. V'zek kibano v'yitzias Mitzrayim. This is what we receive from the Lifan Shrine. It's like Zayin Milcha Milchamas Hashem, the weapons that are needed to fight the Milchamas of Hashem. Kach Mamish Lufnei Bias Mashiach, and so it is now in our generation, before Mashiach comes. Yesh gamkin es oisa b'chinet. This is exactly what's happening now. The enemy is upon us again. And the same way that we left Egypt, Hashem gave us what? The koyach of these two great warriors, of Yehuda and Yosef, of Malchus Bez David, of Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. And these two koyaches of David and of Yehuda and Yosef brought about the splitting of the ocean. So it is. In these days before Mashiach comes, Hashem is mashpia l'kol echad miYisrael as a kaiches shel Yosef and Yehuda. Hashem is mashpia to all Jews these kaiches of Yosef and Yehuda. Which next Monday we're going to talk about what is the special kaiach that we have that comes to us from Yosef Atzadi, and what's the special kaiach, the special weapon that we have from Yehuda from Malchus Beis Dov.